Hello, everyone. Welcome to our conference call today. Hold on one second. Technology. Okay. Well, today is February 6th. My name is Kurt Mortensen. We are doing our persuasion, negotiation, influence, self-persuasion call. Welcome those that are listening via phone line. Welcome those that are listening via the net for my international friends and those listening to the recording. As we just spend a few minutes talking about a persuasion tool, and then what we're going to do is, of course, we're going to post the recording at ywhypersuasion.com. Take your questions. You can send them to me via the net, or you can ask them over the phone as we talk about different principles of persuasion and influence. So let's get into it and cover some of the questions I've been getting as far as motivation. Now, what we're going to talk about today, it can be used for self-persuasion, or it can be used to motivate other people. Get other people to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it. That's part of motivation. Can you take, what's the saying? You can't lead a horse to water, but you can give that horse a lot of salt and motivate the horse on their own to get to the water. That's kind of what we'll be talking about today as we look at the formula. Because you've probably had a day when you didn't feel like doing the things you know you needed to do. And how do you get motivated? How do you motivate somebody else? So the formula I'm going to share with you today is for both. Whether you want to persuade yourself, motivate yourself, or motivate other people to help you understand the psychology of this. And this has always intrigued me. Because a lot of times you can go to a motivational seminar, and everyone's excited. You can light a match with the energy. But then a few weeks later, no one has done anything. You're thinking, well, what's the difference? What's going on? What's happening? Why aren't they more motivated? And we have to take a look at that. Because the word motivation comes from the word motive. And how do you motivate someone? How do you stay on track? Because you can go out on the street and say, hey, we want to be financially independent, want to lose weight, better relationships. Most people say, well, yeah, yeah. And you ask, what are you doing about it? And you get the blank stare. Now, there's two camps. Some camps say, well, motivation doesn't last. And there's the other camp that says, well, it doesn't last, but neither does a shower, but you should take one every day, meaning you still have to motivate yourself. You have to motivate other people. If you're the type of person that's always waiting for someone to motivate you, you might wait a long time. But I want to get into the science of this to really help you understand personally in your own life and the prospects you're dealing with and how to motivate them, how to get past that, what we call, I guess, laziness. So let's talk about motivation. It's a top trait of top persuaders, their ability to motivate other people at any time. So I'd get out a piece of paper. I want to kind of map this out for you on a kind of a grid. What I want you to do is draw a horizontal line, and on the left, write the letter D, and on the right, write the letter I. So D on the left, I on the right. Let me talk about what those stand for. Because on a rudimentary level, there's only two motivators in life. There's only two things that get you out of bed, two things that get you to work, two things that get you to do what you want to do. And some say pleasure, pain, it could be reward, punishment. What I'm going to put down here is either inspiration or desperation. So on the left is desperation, and on the right is inspiration. And in the middle is something called your comfort zone, obviously, where we like it, it's nice, it's friendly. And the challenge with most people and their motivation is this, is that their known pain is easier to handle than the unknown pain. Let me repeat that. The known pain is easier to handle the unknown pain. So if you take a job, for example, and you hate your job, you don't want to go, it just grates at you. But the known pain, you know you can deal with it. The known pain of that, you can deal with that. But the unknown pain of quitting, finding a job, that unknown pain really holds a lot of people back. So that's the difference. So we have inspiration and desperation. Now, it's important when you're persuading somebody one-on-one that you can see, are they an inspiration or desperation? So how can we tell? Well, sometimes you can tell in their demeanor. They're moving away from something. There's desperation in their eyes. It's in their word choice versus inspiration. They're moving towards something. So desperation, they're moving away from something. Inspiration, they're moving towards something. There's more of a hope. There's more of a vision. Here's the key thing to understand about inspiration and desperation. When someone's in a desperation mindset, you want to, as a persuader, crank up the desperation, crank up the pain. And then you buffer that with a little hope, a little inspiration. For example, foreclosure. Someone's going to foreclosure, that's obviously a desperation situation. They're feeling a lot of pain. So you crank it up. So, okay, what's going to happen if we don't do anything? What's going to happen to your family? Where are you going to live? What's going to build up the pain? Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? You know, build the pain up, and then you say, you know what? We can take care of this challenge, and you know, in a couple years, we can help restore your credit. This will be a bump in the road in your life. You'll be able to get back on track. This happens to millions of other people, and you buffer it that way. Now, here's where people really tend to blow it, because a lot of people love to use fear and desperation as a motivator. When someone's an inspiration, they're buying life insurance for their grandchildren to help them out with their college education. Maybe they're purchasing an apartment complex, and the proceeds are going to go to a certain charity. They're obviously an inspiration. If you cross the line with that person into desperation, it will backfire on you every time. So the rule, when they're in desperation, crank up the desperation, buffer it with some hope and inspiration. When they're an inspiration, you stay there. And the key thing to understand is sometimes we are motivated by desperation. You probably have never been to a dentist out of inspiration. It's usually desperation that you go. Why do we buckle our seatbelts? Is it inspiration or is it desperation? And let me finish this kind of map for you so you can understand how this works. Because you can motivate anybody with desperation. I mean, you can. You can take a lazy teenager. And I can motivate them. Call me up. They're on the couch watching TV. They won't move. I'll just go out in the garage and get a can of gasoline and light the couch on fire. Okay, pretty simple. And what do we see? You've never seen them so motivated ever in your life. But once the couch has been replaced and I've been arrested, they turn back to lazy teenagers because desperation works very well, but it's very temporary. So if you're talking to somebody one-on-one or a group of people or even writing sales copy, we have to look at the balance between inspiration and desperation and how that works. So on your piece of paper, your horizontal line, desperation's on the left, inspiration's on the right, and then draw a vertical line right down the middle, so you have kind of a grid or a plus, and on the top of that, write internal, and on the bottom, write external. So left is desperation, right is inspiration, up top is internal, and at the bottom is external. And when you grasp this, not only will you be able to motivate yourself, you'll do very well at motivating other people. Because it's not just motivation. There's different types of people, different personality, different times of day, different things require different types of motivation. And that's the key factor here when I finally figured this out to realize this type of motivation. Because if you are persuading someone and they're not motivated to make a decision and they're not motivated to do it, it sounds good. Yeah, but they just can't get them to motivate. We've wasted everyone's time. So let me go through this. Let's talk about jobs. Now, external desperation, that's the lower left-hand quadrant, external desperation right there, right in the word fear. External desperation, that's fear. So external things scare you, give you desperation to motivate you. So let's take a job. So we talked about this earlier, you hate your job, you don't want to go. You've read that most heart attacks happen Monday morning. I've heard that many times, I've been able to verify it, but it sounds true. You don't want to go. Oh, you hate your boss, you hate what you do, they're not getting paid what you're worth. You don't want to do it, but you go out of external desperation, you go out of fear. What is that fear? The fear is, well, if you lose your job, you won't have an income. You won't have an income, you'll lose your house. You'll lose your house, you'll lose your spouse. You'll be living on the street. And it's this downward spiral of fear. And it gets you to go to work, even though you don't want to. Not the best type of motivation, but you know what? It worked. It got a motivator. Very short term, very temporary. Sometimes fear can be a very powerful motivator when it's used the right way. So that's one type of fear. And some products and services only use desperation. Now, the upper left-hand quadrant, the internal desperation, so something from inside of you, internally, is giving you desperation. I'd write in there, in that quadrant, obligation. Obligation or duty. Monday morning, you don't want to go to work. But something inside, that obligation, that duty, you're thinking, you know, I have been working there for 5 years. They have helped me pay the bills. They do treat me pretty well. My boss is pretty nice to me. And, you know, I did promise I'd finish the project today. So out of sheer obligation, even though it's desperation, out of obligation or duty, you go to work. Okay, it'll last a little longer than fear, but it is still desperation and still temporary. It does get you to work, though. Now, as I study millionaire psychology and successful people, we do know that successful people spend more time in inspiration than desperation. So make a mental note of that, and inspiration lasts a lot longer. So let's move over there and kind of fill in these quadrants. So the lower right-hand quadrant, write in love/respect. So it could be love or respect. So external things give you the inspiration. So you go to work to provide the best for your family. You go to work to send your children to the best schools. You go to work to, you know, buy a bigger home for your spouse, whatever it is. Those external things, the people around you, external things around you, out of love or respect, you know, you really respect your boss, you're doing it for them, that inspires you and that goes to get you to go to work. The upper right-hand quadrant is passion, internal inspiration. You love your job. You're changing the world. You're changing lives. You're improving the human condition. You don't need an alarm clock to wake yourself up in the morning. Those are the type of things. You just love what you're doing. And that would be what I call a motivation equation, is something that will really take you to the next level. Let me show you why this is so important to you. First of all, if I was creating sales copy or presentation for a group, I would make sure throughout my presentation I hit each one of these quadrants, right? That's important. Now, for you personally, we talk about self-persuasion. If you had the goal, say, for example, to lose weight, right? We all have to fight with that. Lose weight. And there are times when you don't feel like doing the things you know you need to do. I guarantee you with this, you'll always be motivated. Now, here's the secret. Some days it's inspiration, some days it's desperation. That's okay. Remember, desperation is better than inactivity. Desperation is better than doing nothing. So if I had a goal to lose weight, I would put three things in each one of these quadrants. And when I didn't feel like doing it or I felt that urge to get that cheeseburger, I would look at this. So in external desperation, fear, I might put heart attack, death, early grave, whatever it is. For obligation, as I could be, you know what? Internal desperation, I'm better than that. I owe it to my family. The external inspiration, the love or respect, it might be for my grandchildren, to live nice as long as my spouse. And the passion might be, you know what, I have this charity I need to build. I need to change lives. I need to be healthy. So that moment I don't feel like doing something, I look at this, and it gives me that motivation that I need. That's how this works. It's very important that you understand every aspect of this. The key factor, of course, when someone's in inspiration, you stay there. When they're in desperation, what you want to do is crank up the desperation and leave them in inspiration. So this is something to think through when you're motivating yourself or motivating other people. The psychology of motivation is important. People are motivated by different things on different days at different times. So if I'm trying to lose weight, you know, it might be that heart attack. That scares me, and that might motivate me at that time. The next day, it might be for my grandchildren. The next day, it might be for my spouse. The next day, I'm just doing it for me because I'm better than that. I know I can do better than that. It might be different things on different days. That's very important to understand with motivation. Now, the challenge we talked about earlier is that people get stuck in that comfort zone. How do you get somebody out of that comfort zone? I call it the desperation cycle. If you had a reunion, a family reunion or a high school reunion coming up, and you've been eating maybe some of the things you shouldn't be, you've gained a little weight, this reunion's coming up, you panic, you work on yourself enough just to lose enough weight to get the dress or the suit to fit, you go to the reunion, and then the pounds come back on. And it's just a cycle, it's a cycle, it's a cycle. So to get someone out of their comfort zone, to get someone to change, you have to first of all tap into their motivation. You know, is it inspiration or desperation? Second of all, they have to have the vision. They have to be able to see where the change is going to take them. That's important. A lot of people don't have that vision, that change. They can't do that. We see that all the time. We talk a lot about dieting. I guess that's the big motivation one, is their mindset is way off. They haven't changed their mindset. So if I'm stuck on, French fries, I can't have French fries. I'm on a diet. Oh, but they're so warm and they're salt. No, I can't. Oh, but they're so... No, I can't. Right? The more I think about it, because your thoughts control your emotions, which control your actions, I'm going to eventually eat French fries. And so you have to change the way what you're going to do in that situation. Just imagine yourself getting a super size of fries and you pick it up with your hands and you start squeezing these fries in between your fingers as the pulpy mass goes through your fingers and that yellow lard drips down your hand. That imagery, I'm never going to want French fries again. And that's why if I can't see myself doing it, because the universe will not reward you physically until it's been created mentally, until you have that vision. And that's important. And the third thing to create change, so I can see myself doing it, I know what it's going to cost me mentally and physically, I'm motivated to do it. The third one is the tools. Do you have the tools to do it? Do you have the education? Do you have the knowledge? Do you have the mentor? Do you have the information to be able to do it, to get somebody out of that comfort zone? Because if you're influencing without authority, if you're influencing other people, whatever it is, these are the tools that will help you out. So again, any questions, you can send those via the net at whypersuasion.com. Give us 24 hours to post the replay. Our goal today, of course, is give you some tools. And then we'll take questions here and spend a few minutes on that. You could do them over the phone or via the net. I got a question here. Someone asked about the tools. How do you know if they have the tools? That's a great question, especially in corporate settings. People don't want to look stupid. They're not sure who to do, and they don't want to say, I don't know how to do that. What does that mean? I would assume, in a especially a corporate situation, that they don't have the tools, that you list all the tools they have access to, even if you're pretty sure they know it. They might not, because people are always going to act more competent than they are, whether it's in a negotiation or in the corporate world. I don't know if you're familiar with the Peter Principle. That's where we are promoted to our area of incompetence, meaning we're promoted one times too many. That's why great salespeople are promoted to sales manager, and they're not good at that because that's their incompetence. We see this with a lot of upper managers. They were good at what they did. They're promoted. We're always promoted to our incompetence. And so, but no one admits that. They have to hide it. They don't want to look bad. They're always covering up. Always assume they don't have the tools. That you just, here's a list of tools that you have, here's your resources, this is who you ask, this is what you do, this is where you get the training, this is what required of you, and just map it out. That's a great question, because that's a cover-up. People, do you need any help? Do you have any questions? No. They have no clue what you just asked them to do, but you need to spell it out for them and never assume that they do have the tools. Great questions. Any other questions via the net or over the phone? Okay, here's another question. Kurt, is it more important to start with inspiration or desperation in a presentation? Yes. Depends on your product, service, depends on your prospect. The key thing in that first 30 seconds is the grabbing their attention, why should they care, what's in it for them type of a thing. I would say across the board, if you want numbers, it's usually 80% of the time people are motivated by desperation. The fear of losing something, as we talked about scarcity, the psychological toll of losing $100 is a lot more than the psycho, what happens psychologically to win $100. Just something about desperation, moving away from something's always very motivational. So if I had to choose one, not knowing the product or service, I would choose desperation and then buffer that with inspiration. So that's kind of how you look at it. Now, in your personal life, you want to spend more time with the inspiration side. Just another question here. It says, Kurt, you talked about passion. What if I'm not passionate about my product? Well, you either get passionate about it. There's a direct correlation. Because when you're passionate about something, it recruits the hearts and minds of your audience. They can sense it. You know, are you singing the song or are you singing the words? They can sense it. Passion, when I look at people with equal persuasion IQs and one's doing double the other, it usually comes back to passion and commit and conviction. A couple things. You either need to get another product. I'm not recommending, that's an option. Or you get passionate about it. Looking at testimonials, becoming a product of the product. You know, become passionate about it. Learn about it. Internalize it. You can do that. Because this is important. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, people can sense that. And it really hurts your ability to persuade, especially when you go from a great persuader to being charismatic. And that's my latest study is charisma and learning charisma and becoming charismatic. And passionate is definitely one of the subsets of charisma. So if you need to find something that you're passionate about. So maybe you're not passionate about what you are persuading people to do, but maybe you're passionate about what that money's going to do for you, or help build a charity, to give back, to do something else. So an exercise that you can do, if you really want to find out what your purpose or passion is, if you're not sure, let me give you some questions that will help you out. I do this with my college students, and something about designing your life. What is your DNA coded for greatness? What is your purpose? What is your passion? Why are you here? So these are the questions that I give. You really want to tap into that. You might not get them overnight. It might take a couple weeks of brainstorming this. First question I ask is, rich Uncle Frank's passed away, left you $10 million. You never have to work again, right? Tax-free, $10 million. You've already taken care of all your plastic surgery. You've already seen the world. What are you going to do with your life? Okay, money's not an issue anymore. What are you going to do? Where are you going to spend your time? So you're financially independent. What are you going to do with your life? That's number one. Number two, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Guaranteed success. To be a speaker, an author, is it politics, is it a charity, is it start a business? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Third one is a genie appears. It's a one-wish genie with certain stipulations. So this genie appears and says this. Your wish is you get to change one thing in the world. So here's the question. If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be? One thing in the world, what would it be? And if you have any extra time, some people like to write their own eulogy. You know, you're 97 years old, you lived the perfect life. What does it look like? What do you see? What did you accomplish? Just help design. Because when you tap into that core passion, that purpose, motivation's a non-issue. You're always motivated, and people can sense it, and now they want to be around you, and now they want to be persuaded by you. Just something to think about with the passion. Great question. Any other questions via the net or over the phone? We can take another couple. There's one, Kurt, how do I know when I'm using too much fear? They run. Because when people feel fear, actually blood does leave the brain. It's kind of fight or flight response. It goes to our extremities. So you can actually see it in their face. And that's one thing about fear and anger. There's physical responses in the body. When people start to get angry, you'll see their face turn red. And if their face starts to turn white, that means they're really angry. All the blood's left the face. It's time to kind of back off. Again, reading body language is important here and having the right dose. We see this a lot of times with teenagers. The dose is too strong, whether it's drug or STDs or driving. You show them these videos of these cars and their dead bodies, and they laugh because that's just too much because they can't see that happening to them. So you'll see it in their demeanor. number one. And if you use too much fear, it's like, why try? I'm going to die anyway. Why try? I'm going to lose my house anyway. Why try? They don't, there's no solution. Your solution's not viable to them because you've scared them so much. It's like, well, why try? Why try and why do it? That's how you would know. But your body language is important here and asking the right questions. Any more questions, comments, rude remarks? We will take them all. There's one more here coming. Let me read this here real fast. Kurt, how do I help someone work on their vision when you talked about change? Well, a lot of it's in your word choice, the way you're talking about it, like it's already happened, they're already doing, they've already seen the success, they're already getting the results that you're promising them as a persuader. You have to realize the opposite, and this is true with self-persuasion or the people you're talking to, is the opposite of vision is worry. See, worry's negative goal setting, right? Worry's negative goal setting. And when people are stuck in worry, it's because their vision's not strong enough. So in your own personal life, if you're stuck on worry, 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 you're letting these fears and doubts creep up because you can't see yourself doing what you're asking yourself to do. So this is true in your own personal life, and it's true with your prospects. If they keep stuck having worry about this, what about this, what about this, they haven't seen themselves do it. They haven't seen the vision. They haven't put themselves in that solution. And so you have to create that vision. In real estate, what they do is, we've talked about this before, is have people, the kids go pick out the room. Okay, where's the grand piano going to go? Where's the playset going to go? Which garage are you going to put your car in? Those type of things. That's part of the visualization. And one way to get people past worry is to get them to make decisions. Worry a lot of times comes from indecision. If you were going to jump off a bridge into a river, the more you thought about it, the harder it would be. The more these devastating consequences of worry goes through your brain. So the quicker you get them to make a decision, or decisions along the way help, and then paint that picture to kind of erode the worry and the doubt and the fear away to help them see that the vision is much stronger than the worry. Okay? All right. Good questions today. Again, we're going to post this at whypersuasion.com. That's also, if you have questions during the week, you can send those to me. But go out there. We'll be here the same time next week. But go out there, become power persuaders, and make a big difference in the world. That's all we ask, is you go out and make the world a better place. So with that, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.